This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 400. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Etta Candy drops by for episode 400. Woo-woo! The Battle of Britain is on, super interpersonal relations, and Bigby wraps up the case. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, April 17th, 2016. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or you can subscribe via iTunes where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Like us at facebook.com/sfppn. Follow us on Twitter @sfppn. Check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn. Or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Well, we made it to 400 episodes.
That's like 8 years.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
If I wasn't reading comics already, I guess, you know,
right,
I would be now.
Yeah.
I can successfully be called a comic book reader now.
The Legend of Wonder Woman number 4 by DeLiz and Dillon. Diana has now made it to America, specifically Maine. After the shipwreck, she's found by an old fisherman and his wife. Diana was always told the outside world was evil, but sees the kindness in the old woman, who lost her grandson in the war, World War II, and gives an old flag she made to Diana. Gee, I wonder what's going to happen to that.
You know, I just, as I was reading this, I kept thinking, are these going to be like Steve Trevor's grandparents or something, or their parents, and they think he's dead because his plane crashed, but she brought him back? That's what I kept thinking.
That's possible. She goes off to find her way in the world and arrives at Holiday College in time for a party, and we meet Etta Candy and the Holiday Girls. Etta's first appearance was in Sensation Comics number 2, 1942, so pretty much at the very beginning of Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
And basically created the heroine's best friend template in comics.
Mm-hmm.
She's Rubenesque and has no problem with that.
And the nice thing is that the people around her don't seem to have a problem with it either. She is made to appear just as attractive as many of the other girls who aren't Rubenesque.
I agree. The girls here are actually in a singing act. Diana saves a reveler at the party, and Etta tells everyone she's her cousin and gets her away from the group.
Nobody really believes her.
Right. Throughout, Diana is having dreams or visions of terrible futures. Etta shows Diana headlines of monstrous Nazis, and so she needs to learn more about what is going on. So they're off to Boston to talk to the paper's publisher, but first there's a need for a change of wardrobe since Diana continues to kind of go around in the togas.
Well, yeah, somebody at the party said, "Where's the toga party?" You know, she kind of fit into the college theme there, I guess.
I'm certainly enjoying this more than the regular Wonder Woman series. Even with the change in creatives that recently happened, it's still not all that good. I'm really hoping that Rucka, when Rebirth occurs, is going to do a better job at Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I really hope so too.
DC Comics Bombshells number 11 by Bennett, Adolfo, Braga, and Broom. The separate storylines and characters come together as they fight the Ratsies and their Tenebrae in Britain. So we have Kara, Stargirl, Mira, Batwoman, Diana, Hoshi, Big Barda, Amanda Waller, and also Steve Trevor are all in the big fight. Hoshi and Barda are clearly an item.
Mm-hmm.
Batwoman takes out the guy creating the monsters, who of course is working for Baroness von Gunther. Kara is forced to fight reanimated versions of the Night Witch pilots when Batwoman, with Stargirl's staff, uses actual bats to take them out. And she's like, "Hominems!"
Yeah, that was pretty good.
In the end, Batwoman suggests that they have a Justice League of our own. Still want to see what's happening in Paris and Moscow with Catwoman and Zatanna, who have been kind of excluded from this storyline.
Well, maybe the next issue will focus on them and we'll see. But Is this a miniseries?
No, as far as I know, this is an ongoing, as long as the digital does well.
Okay.
Jupiter Circle, Volume 2, Number 5, from Image by Millar, Sprouse, and Templeton. The supervillain has been vanquished, but what to do with George, a.k.a. Sky Fox? He did help save the team. He also did go off the grid and kidnap the vice president.
Not to mention, you know, many other things that were technically against the law.
Sheldon, a.k.a. Utopian, seems willing to let him back on the team, and they all meet later at their headquarters. George buries the hatchet with Walter, a.k.a. Brainwave, who married his ex-wife.
And Walter really doesn't want to bury the hatchet.
No. He says he once thought Walter had actually used his psychic powers to get her to fall in love with him. And Walter privately admits, yeah, that's exactly what I did.
And says, and maybe it was a mistake. I don't really want her, you know? Okay.
This starts a big fight. And they all finally manage to take down George. Sheldon asks Walter, did you actually use your powers? And he never really answers the question. And Walter ends up smirking in the last panel.
Mm-hmm.
To me, this is much more what a super team would probably do, because especially in this case, they're all still human beings.
Yes.
And they all have their foibles and they're all magnified because of these powers.
Yes.
There is one more issue to go in this miniseries, although I'm sure we're going to see more of Jupiter's Circle / Jupiter's Legacy.
Well, if you read the back,
yeah,
they are already talking. There is going to be another Jupiter's Legacy very shortly coming out.
Yeah. Fables, The Wolf Among Us, number 16 from Vertigo by Justice, Sturgis, Sadowski, Popoy, McManus, Moore, and Loughridge. This is the last issue, kind of a surprise to me, kind of snuck up on me.
And we should have realized it.
Because I didn't notice, we didn't mention it in the poll review last week.
Yeah, so it wasn't in the previews.
Bigby finally reaches the Crooked Man, who has a gun with silver bullets, just a precaution. The villain taunts Bigby and then offers himself for arrest. Bigby fights his instinct to just kill him right there. So it's off to a tribunal.
Because the Crooked Man is sure he'll be able to talk himself out of anything.
And Crooked Man explains that Georgie Porgy killed the girls on his own, and Mary was just loyal to him to a fault. Oh, yeah, and she was crazy.
He never said she should fight Bigby.
Right. He manages to get the other Fables to argue among themselves as to his judgment. Crooked Man also says he only provides services that Fabletown can't or won't due to corruption. The problem is that Bigby is the only witness to everything that happened, or the last living witness, until Narissa arrives to corroborate things. Snow's about to make the judgment when Bigby reminds her he's the only appointed officer left. She actually just inherited the position.
And so he's the one that needs to make the choice about what happens. And I think that's to save Snow from feeling guilty about it later.
And he's also in his mind kind of making all that up.
Yeah.
Whether that's actually necessary or not. So he decides that Crooked Man should just be held prisoner until a real trial can be held, like the Mundys. He later escapes via a looking glass and returns to get revenge on Narissa, who we learn made up her story.
Mm-hmm.
So to basically to put him away. And the rest of the story sets up the rest of the main Fable series. This is all a prequel to that. Non-human fables are sent up to the farm, and arrangements are starting to be made in the homelands. It seems like the ending is rushed, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was. The sales numbers on this were pretty dire.
Yeah. And, you know, quite frankly, it really wasn't as good as Fables at all.
Oh, no.
But
again, it was a comic book based on a video game that was based on another comic book.
Yeah.
So at some point, you keep diluting and diluting until you don't have anything left.
Exactly.
Well, before we get out of here, it's time to play America's Fastest Growing New Game Show.
Guess is on the cover of Entertainment Weekly. Now, Mark, I already mentioned to you that it's a double issue.
Double issue. So. Entertainment Bi-Weekly.
Yes. Here we go.
TV related?
No.
Movie related?
Yes.
One person on the cover?
No.
So multiple people. Is it like multiple covers again?
Yes.
Of course it is. Okay, so it's some big event.
Yes.
Presumably. And it's a movie that's yet to come out?
Yes.
Is it genre related?
Yes.
Is it superhero related?
Yes.
Is it Civil War?
Yes.
Oh, geez.
Okay, so I'll give you that. It's the summer movie preview edition.
Yeah.
And yes, it's Civil War, and it's got like four covers, I think, which makes a nice little, like, you wouldn't call it a triptych because there's four. But
quadrich.
Yeah. So, and they all blend together to make one big scene.
But,
you know, anything to sell more copies of the magazine.
I suppose. Well, again, want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes, leave us a review, and again, thank you so much for listening for 400 episodes.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn. You can call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.